This is The Kickoff
with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a word with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Toe.
Morning, Steve. You okay, pal?
Yeah, I have heard Everton fans calling for his head. We had one on the Radio City Legends last night. What's going on?
That's got to be a red, Steve. It's got to be
a red.
It wasn't.
It was someone who actually... Who knows nothing about football, basically. I'm not saying he was with it completely, but he was after Duncan Ferguson to take the helm.
Oh, we've been down this route before, Steve. How many managers do Everton fans want? We've had four in the space of three seasons, so just want to keep chopping and changing. Listen, when Marco Silva was appointed as Everton manager in the summer, it was for the long haul. Yet it was a two-year contract, but Everton have got to stay patient with this fella. He can't keep chopping and changing from Koeman to Allardyce to Unsworth before that was Martinez. You just can't keep on doing it. Now, Marco Silva's at the helm. It's a project that Everton fans are going to have to, the players are going to have to be patient with and get on board. They just cannot keep chopping and changing. To have the influx of, they've signed seven or eight players in the summer, a new director of football came in, a new regime, I think best part of 11, 12 players went out the door. It's not going to happen overnight, Steve. And if you probably to ask the majority of Evertonians before the start of the campaign, with all this influx of new players and management and backroom staff and director of football, new manager, new philosophy, way of playing, would you have taken what it took us to the seventh game to taste our first defeat? Yet it was a poor one last week against Southampton, against West Ham. But in the main, it's been a steady start. Mm. Not fantastic, not awful, a steady start. One defeat doesn't dampen Everton's spirit, I'll tell you.
I was going to say, it's not like you've hit a real low, is it?
No, it's not. The Everton have played some really, really good football, and especially away from home this season when we've seen them score two against Bournemouth when they should have won, and they scored two against Wolves on the opening day when they should have won that with 10 men. So they played some really decent football this season. One defeat isn't going to dampen it, Steve. You get knee-jerk reactions all over each fan, doesn't it? As soon as you get one taste of defeat, it'll happen. That's what happens in football. You can't win every single match. Liverpool is winning now, of course, but I think, you're going to get that all walks of life on you. One little mistake and people are going to jump on your back. That's what happens, really. But it's absolutely nonsense to suggest Marco Silva's job's under threat.
Right, what a tough fixture it is this weekend. You can't really see Everton leaving the Emirates without having conceded a goal, can you? Which sort of puts an immediate pressure on you.
Of course, Steve. I was delving into the really archives of Everton's last victory. It came in 1996. Trips to Arsenal are usually a painful one for Evertonians. They've lost more away matches against Arsenal than any other team in Premier League history. They've conceded 105 goals against Arsenal in the Premier League. They've conceded more than a century of goals against one opponent in the Premier League history. It's never been done before. Everton just don't like to play Arsenal. But having said that, last week, Steve, we said that Everton loved to play West Ham, and look what happened there. This fixture's seen more goals in any other fixture than Premier League history. Arsenal 1-2 to win it, Brazil 4-1, Everton 13-2 to win it. Now, Steve, I'm going to have a big bet in this one, and the reason being it's just guaranteed goals. Now, the reason being is that goals should be on the menu. Everton have scored two or more in each of their two aways this season. Under Unai Emery, there'd been five matches for Arsenal, nine goals, four and ten conceded. Everton, 8-4, 9 conceded. It's just, honestly, it could be any score you want this on Sunday. So what I'm predicting, Steve, Richarlison is back. Bernard obviously made a huge difference to Everton's attack and threat last week. Yerry Mina's surely to make his debut. And I'm predicting Everton to score two or more in this one of five.
Really?
Yeah, I really am. I think they scored two against Bournemouth. They could have had an half-full there. They scored two against Wolves. They could have had an half-full there away from home. I think Everton's teams are set out away from home to do some damage on the counter-attack. They're going to leave Bernard, Walcott, Richarlison on the halfway line, especially from set pieces. So I think Everton are going to do some counter-attacking on Sunday. I think they'll score two or more against Arsenal. I really do.
And will Cenk Tosun be one of those scorers?
I can't see it, Steve. I know he took some criticism this season and he was poor last week and he weren't the only one. I think what Cenk Tosun does, he's probably utilised more as a target man. So obviously you're expected to hold the ball up. But when you don't do that, you're not bringing anything else into your game. And because he's gone five games without a goal now, he hasn't scored, and he doesn't even really look like scoring. He had a great chance last week, and it was just a flimsy and weak header for the goalkeeper to just basically save from a decent cross from Luka Dinya. So I just feel as if that weight of expectations bearing down on him now, and he's chasing lost causes. And if he can't hold the ball up and he doesn't look dangerous in attack, well, I'm sorry, you need to be replaced. So don't be surprised if Everton go Richarlison as a number nine on Sunday, and maybe Bernard and Walcott either side.
I put it to Sharpie on the Legends. I said that you can see it on Cenk Tosun's face now. And that's always a bad sign, isn't it, when a player starts displaying those emotions a bit more publicly. He looks a frustrated character.
He does, Steve. And when you start snapshotting at shots that you should be laying your teammates in, you know it's on your mind. One alarming note of probably Everton fans mightn't have seen it last week on the television is that after two games in, Marco Silva was on the touchline, and after Barkhout instruction to Cenk Tosun 2 minutes into the match to chase down a defender. Now, that's not right. That just shouldn't sit with any striker up front at home against West Ham. That should be in your vocabulary and your automatic to just chase down defenders straight away. Now, for your manager to be barking out instructions like that to tell you to chase down a defender 2 minutes into a Premier League match at home, it's not good. So I think Cenk Tosun needs to up his game dramatically if he wants to survive in this Premier League.
Maybe a bit of friction there. What about on the Liverpool side of things? They play, of course, Everton play Sunday 4 p.m, Liverpool 3 p.m. on a Saturday, which is a little bit unusual. Southampton are the visitors, and Liverpool could go to 7 wins on a trot. Would that be some sort of record?
Yeah, third in the hit. This will be the third time in Liverpool's history they'll have won the first 7 Premier League matches. And I think that time they've done it in, they finished first and second in the league. So it makes good reading, doesn't it, for Liverpool supporters. Liverpool 1-5 to win this one. The draw 6-1. Southampton as big as 16-1. Now, Liverpool are unbeaten in their last 23 league matches at Anfield, Steve. They've won 15, drew 8, their best run since 2009. In fact, the last team to actually score a goal at Anfield was back in February, a Michael Antonio goal in a 4-1 win. Since then, Liverpool have kept 7 clean sheets on the spin at Anfield. They are a fortress at Anfield. Well, Southampton are a filthy team, Steve, this season. They really are. Mark, he's changed the way they play. Southampton used to be a really good side to watch under Pochettino and Koeman, etc. But now, I think Mark Hughes has just turned them into a team of thugs. Honestly, you want to see the records away from home. They've had five matches in the Premier League this season, 11 yellow cards and 1 red. They are officially the dirtiest team in the Premier League. I watched it with my own eyes a couple of weeks ago at Goodison Park. He racked up 5 yellow cards in that game. Liverpool fans will witness this on Saturday afternoon, and they'll see Southampton just leave the foot in, slide tackle and rack up a lot of yellow cards. And it's an interesting one, Steve. Since the start of last season, Southampton have dropped more points from winning positions than any other team in the Premier League. 26 points in total they've dropped from winning positions. And don't forget, they were 2-0 up against Brighton on Monday Night Football. But on a side note, Steve, Sadio Mane is on 48 Premier League goals. He's playing against his old club, so I wouldn't back against him scoring two to become the seventh African to score 50 Premier League goals. It takes some doing. Efan Akuku, Yakubu, Ron Kakanu, Didier Drogba, Adebayor and Yaya Toure, the only 6 others. So Mane with a bit of history there to score 2 or more to become 50 Premier League goals to become the 7th African to do it.
And he could join them. And Roberto Firmino could be playing from the start. And if he does play, you suspect he might be wearing those Edgar David specs because he's been heavily photographed in them at Melwood, hasn't it? It's almost a little bit like a preview of what would happen on a match day. All his teammates having a little laugh with him. Look at the specs you're wearing. Even James Milner's put it on his social media account. It's become something of a... it's become something, if we leave it at that. But is he going to play in these, do you think?
Yeah, I think he will play, Steve. Yeah. I think we've seen players before. Players, I see Michael Keane was patched up in training yesterday with a big, massive headband on. And listen, players have got to go through the pain barrier to play. Obviously, your health is more concerning. I get that. But it looks as though he's comfortable playing in his training. If the ball hits him in the face, he's got huge protection on the eyes. Interestingly, Steve, when we seen that foul last week, no one thought any differently of it, did he? It just looked like Vertonghen had just basically tried to barge him out the way. But when you're seeing it closely and deep, when you're seeing the repercussions of it, you go, oof, that looks nasty. But when you see it in first play straight away, it didn't look bad, did it? But when you see it in slow motion, it was painful. It looked bad. But he got his rewards, didn't he, during the week, and the duty deserved. And it just shows you the mentality of Firmino to get straight onto that pitch. I know there's plenty of players out there that go, oh, do you know what? I wouldn't mind a couple of weeks off here. Just get me eye sorted for the next couple of games and get me way back into the team. But fair play to Firmino. Patched up straight in there against PSG and got the winner.
He's involved. Someone who won't be involved tomorrow, though, for Southampton is Danny Ings. He can't play, can he?
No, and he's been in red hot form, Danny Ings, for Southampton. I think that's his fourth goal last week on the Monday night football against Brighton from the penalty spot. He's one of them competitors that's always in your face, doesn't give you the minute, and he'd be a big miss for Southampton at 16-1. But the bet for me in this one, Steve, it's got to be on the bookings for Southampton. Even money, Southampton to have two or more yellow cards. And if you want have a little bet even more, three or more cards at 5-2 represents really, really good value on Southampton on the yellow card.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.